What's all that action? Am I gonna be alright here?
Just in case.
Alright. All right, sorry about that. good morning. Wanna welcome you to the worship service of Hope Community Church this morning. Special welcome to those of you who might be new visitors dropping in. I know I met a couple of you. Summer is that way. If you were just born, Corbin, I want to welcome you to the worship service here. First one. Well, cordless. First one, cordless. He's been around. He's been here in the worship, so just moving on. My name's Cor. I'm on the pastoral staff here at Hope, and why we gather here is we want to honor God by helping as many of you and as many around us in our neighborhoods, as many as are around us at work. We just want to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so why we get together and sing songs and give of our monies and get together and listen to the word of God spoken is because we ultimately believe that getting to know Christ is number one. And so if you're new to us, just want to invite you wherever you're at in your spiritual journey. Hope is designed to be a place where you could be here and be comfortable. Kind of. We want you to feel safe, and yet we are going to encourage you to go take one step further in your journey with Christ. This is not a place where we try and make it about me or about the band or about any leader here at Hope. We really want to make it about Christ. And so ultimately, when you walk out of the door at the end of this service, we hope that what we put together is a picture of Christ. The church is his body, his arms, his feet, his legs. And we ultimately want to give attention to the head of the body, which is Christ. And so wherever you're at, glad you're here. I had the chance this past week to go to a neighborhood gathering. My wife was at a women's ministry team meeting, and my boys were asleep, but I got the chance to go to a neighborhood gathering. A couple of our neighbors across the alley were hosting this, and There might be a couple of my neighbors here today. I don't know. I've invited them to come and listen to me speak if they desire. But I was so blessed by these neighborhood this neighborhood gathering. That's actually probably a picture of something out in California. It wasn't. There was no ocean view. There was an alley. There were the garbage cans right next to the alley. But I was so blessed because they had taken it upon themselves, the initiative, to invite kind of the neighbors that were along the alley to come for three reasons to celebrate. The first one was one of their dogs had passed away, Sammy, and they wanted to kind of dedicate a garden out in front of their house. And I just thought, man, that's so cool that they wanted to do that. And she went through the process of dedicating this garden, and I think she sensed what we all sense, like, we've never been to one of these, and she had never done one of these, and so it was a little bit like, what is garden dedication for your dog look like? And so she had the chance to spread the dog's ashes out in the garden and was giving a kind of a commentary along with that, like, I just want to kind of spread him out so that he'll be around, and I'll probably cover this up with mulch at some point. I don't know. I'm still, so she's kind of giving the dialogue, and we're all like, this is great. Like, keep going here, and she shared a poem, and just, you could tell in the emotion, in her voice, and in her expression, and her husband's, that this meant a lot to them, and that she invited us to have a chance to share in something that was so emotional and powerful for her. The second reason is we had new neighbors move in right next door to them from Seattle, and they had bounced kind of all over the country and now have settled here, and he's working at corporate downtown Target, and so we got the chance to meet him and her, and then they have two kids pretty close to my boys' ages, and so it was great to meet them and get to hear their story and the background where they came from. And he was a part of the Air Force, and I wanted to be a part of the Air Force. I didn't have the good vision, so I couldn't. And all right, I'm getting off track here. But I really appreciated the chance to meet them because of this party that that our neighbors hosted. And then there was a third reason to get the neighborhood together, because on the other side of the host was a new baby was born in the last 3 months. And this was this baby was born to Jesse and to Sean. Now I just name dropped on you guys, and you didn't know this. You didn't feel where I'm coming from. This is Sean. Some of you, Slug, anybody out there? So flip to the next one. Anybody? Atmosphere? Anybody? Oh my! Yeah. Did you hear that ripple effect? Like, what? I got to hold his baby. Slug. Some of you are like, who is that? He wrote such hits as like God Loves Ugly, and you know, this one, Strictly Leakage, was one of the titles. Another album, When Life Hands You Lemons, You Paint That Stuff Gold, is not exact, a little paraphrase there, but he's a part of a hip-hop group here, and kind of fairly well-known, pretty prolific, and they just had a thing called Songfest, and I was able to talk to him, and they had 17,000 people come and listen to them, so he was really excited, and I just got to know him and his girlfriend, and just loved it. Love seeing him interact with his kid and her interact with their kid. And then coming back to just our neighbors who said, I don't know if anybody's going to come to this, but I'm going to invite people to come. And we're going to celebrate this garden dedication and these new neighbors and this baby. And that just blessed me. That just blessed me so much. And so today, that's kind of a lead-in for where we're going today. We're going to talk about loving God and loving neighbor. And for those of you who are new to us, we're in the middle of a series called Certified Purveyors of the High Life. And this is ripoff from Miller Beer. And what they've done with this ad campaign is essentially say, we want you to sell our product, and we care how you sell it. Both are important to us. You sell in our product and how you package that, how you deliver it, the environment in which you sell it. And I've tried to rip that off and use it to communicate spiritual truths, that it is important that we come to God. But then how we live with God and in God is also important. Both are critical. Coming to Christ and then living in Christ are both important to Jesus and to our life of faith. And so we're in the eighth week of a 10-week series on this. We've been having you text in, email responses. I got another one for you for next week. Ever donated something astronomical, like a kidney? Any donors out there, like, or just maybe you gave a car, or I would love to hear about it. Anybody got stories of like, what? Just tell me a time where you donated something. Love that. But that's neither here nor there for this week. So I mentioned a little bit of the aim of the series. The difference between believers and unbelievers as to knowledge is not so much in the matter of their knowledge as in the manner of their knowing. The fact that we get up here and say, Jesus lived and Jesus died and he was buried. But 3 days later, he rose. And so he is stronger than death. He has authority over death. Death is not stronger than Jesus. Jesus is stronger than death. The fact that we get up there and share some of this and point you to the cross, a lot of people can do that. It doesn't necessarily make them followers of God. And so what we're trying to say is, hear that, believe in that, come to Jesus in that, and now the manner in which you live that out is critical. It's important. So the manner of our knowing, the manner in which we relate to God. The first 4 weeks of the sermon series, we talked about just getting to know God. The foundational piece of any manner of living in God is just knowing God. And so the first week we talked about God and the fact that inside of us is a God-shaped hole and a God-sized hole that can only be filled by him. And if we're trying to put other things in that hole, it won't fit and it won't fill. We need Christ to do that. And our hearts will be restless, restless until they find rest in God. The second week we moved on to, if you want that restlessness to be filled, it starts with Christ. The Father has uniquely and exclusively commissioned Jesus the Son to bring about salvation. No one else has been given that commission, that task of salvation to humanity. Only Jesus. And he fulfilled it. And so that was week number two. Week number three and four, we talked about the Holy Spirit. How he is personal. He's not the force. He is not an it. He's personal. And so we can get to know him because he speaks and he listens and he bears witness. And then I talked in week four about the fact that he is essential because he informs us specifically in the moment what we can do to love God and love neighbor and to live for Christ. And he also empowers us continually. We need him. And so that was the first 4 weeks of this sermon series. You can find those online if you want to kind of rehash those. Then we moved into weeks 5, 6, and 7, which dealt with the inner life. If we're going to have high life in Christ and we want to experience God in all his fullness, we got to do something about the inner life, about our internal faith, because that is out of the innermost parts of our being will be an outflow, will be our physical interaction with one another, with this world. And so we started with the inside. The first week of that, week four there, we must set our mind on God. Set our mind on God. The things that are going through our thoughts are critical importance if we're going to lift up Christ and live for him. We have to have an accurate understanding of what he thinks about us and what he would have for us. And so we talked about setting our mind, setting our thoughts on God. Week six, we talked about, I don't feel like it. Our affections, our passions. And I talked about not letting sin reign so that you obey sin's passions, but we stay wired to God so that we have the affections of God. We stay wired to the Holy Spirit, and then God brings forth this wonderful fruit of love and joy and peace in others, and we have proper affections, proper feelings. And then we talked about last time, I want to do right. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. And we went to Romans 7, and we talked about Romans 7. And Paul's just in this difficult place internally of just like, I want to do good. I see it over there, and yet I'm on this path that I don't want to do. As much as I have the desire to be over there, I don't have the ability to carry it out. And there's this internal struggle that he has with sin. Quote from Dallas Willard says this, at the end of life, we want to know uniquely that we have made a difference. We want to be known because we've done something good. We've brought something forth that blesses others. The human will and the individual is not only precious, it is a problem. Human life in its usual forms is characterized by conflict within the will and between wills. The question, what can I bring about, is replaced by how can I get my way? You hear that in Paul, his struggle, his internal struggle. I want to do good, but I can't. Where we ended last week was in verses 21 to 25, and he expresses this desire to do what is right, but evil lies close at hand. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with this? Evil lies close at hand every time I want to do right, and we talked about however close evil might be, God lies closer. God is closer. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. So that brings us to this week, loving God and loving neighbor. And what we're doing here with this week, with Love God, Love Neighbor, is that we start to go from internal. We're not actually completely external, but we start to bleed out externally. As we take care of our thoughts and our mind, and we take care of our affections and our feelings, and then we make the decision of the will to do good, then this is going to start bleeding out. Love of God is internal, but it also will showcase itself many times, like in a public worship service, externally. And the same thing with our love of neighbor. You can have much go internal with regard to love a neighbor, but that should ultimately bleed forth. And so we're going to look at this week as we experience the high life. I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. It's on your insert. It'll be on the screen. But weeks 8, 9, and 10 of this sermon series, it's this bleed outward. How are we as individuals and as the church starting to bleed forth high life? How are we experiencing internally? And how do we want to invite other people to be a part of experiencing that? So we'll start this week on Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. It reads this way, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, a couple religious groups there that Jesus mentions, we'll get into those groups in just a second here. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So let's start with verse 34 there. It talks about the fact that the Sadducees had been silent. Who are the Sadducees? There was at this time a religious council named the Sanhedrin. And that religious council was made up of two groups, Pharisees and the Sadducees. But these groups actually had different characteristics that put them at times in opposition. I wanted to share a couple things. So the Sadducees are priests of wealthy Jerusalem families, which was not necessarily true of the Pharisees. Number two, they had primary duties of running the temple and its religious ceremonies. So you can picture them kind of in the temple, carrying out ceremonies, maybe like you see Seth and I and others here at Hope carrying forth the worship services. Number three, they cooperated with Roman occupying authorities. They actually wanted and appreciated their position in the temple. And so they were working with Rome to just keep peace, keep their Jewish people in peace. And the Romans, as long as there was peace, would keep them in power. And they liked that. And so they would actually try and work with Roman authorities. A little different than the Pharisees. Number four, they viewed Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of our Bible, as the only authoritative holy books. So if you've read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you start to process down, like, what would it look like if my faith only had those five books? Might be a little bit challenging. There's a lot that's not in those five books. And so the Sadducees, they actually did not believe in the resurrection, did not believe in a Messiah coming. So when it says the Sadducees were silenced, you'd have to kind of thumb back up in your Bible to this little story. The Sadducees are trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap him. And they say, "All right, Jesus, we got this story. Like, let's say there's this dude and he's married and then he dies. By our law, it says that the brother should then come and marry. Well, let's say that brother dies, and that happens through all brothers, and there's seven of them. So when death happens, and then there's this resurrection that you talk about, which brother's married to the lady? How's that all work?" And they're trying to trap, and they're trying to figure it out. Interestingly enough, there's this cartoon that kind of speaks to the details of the story. What if a man's brother dies, so he remarries his brother's wife, then chokes on a chicken bone? Next bro is hit by a bus. Fourth bro has a piano fall on him. Fifth bro slips in the shower. Sixth, stoned for eating McDonald's on the Sabbath. That's one of the laws we actually still hold to. No, number seven is mauled by a camel and the woman dies too. So he's bogged down in the details of the story. But this is how Jesus responds to these people who are trying to trap him because they don't believe in the resurrection with this little test here. Jesus answers them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." Not "I was," because they're dead. "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. So Jesus just confronts them in their unbelief of the resurrection and says, you don't understand the scriptures. You don't know what you're talking about. And you fail to recognize the power God has to raise the dead. So then we come to our text for today, and it says, when the Pharisees heard that little response of Jesus to the Sadducees, and he had silenced them. It's like, we should regroup. What we were going to talk to Jesus about, maybe we should talk that over. Let's check in with one another. Let's huddle up, and we'll bring something a little bit more difficult for Jesus. So who are these Pharisees? A little bit different than the Sadducees. They're religious teachers and gatekeepers of the law. This may be, for those of you who've been around the church, reading your Bible, Pharisees are a little bit more common with their connection with the law. Number two, they viewed Roman occupying authority as God's punishment, which is different than the Sadducees. So you can see how when you form a religious council in Jerusalem, there could be some tension built around this. And you actually see it at different times where Paul and other leaders will throw something in the middle of this council to get them opposing one another to take the attention off himself. But as a result of this peace, the Pharisees wanted a Messiah to come and overthrow the Romans. Very different than where the Sadducees sat. And then finally here about the Pharisees, they viewed Torah along with prophets and other writings as authoritative, including rabbinic interpretations. What rabbis interpreted and said about the law and the prophets and God's word, they actually held that in high esteem. And I mentioned 635 additional laws. They definitely were excited to paint the fences for you and make clear to you where you should be and who you should be relating to and whatnot. So we come back to our passage for today, Matthew 22, starting up in 35. One of them, one of the Pharisees, a lawyer, they sent a lawyer to Jesus. Asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Just real quick there, sent this lawyer to test Jesus about his knowledge of the law. You don't know who you're talking to, I don't think. If that's your tact, if that's your approach, like with Jesus, God's son, it's like, you should be careful when you're going to test him, because Jesus, he's pretty smart. And so what happens here is we get Jesus' response in verse 37. And the Pharisees are just hanging on every word here. It's like, we got to see if this matches, if he's in our camp. Because we just saw that he was opposed to the Sadducees. So let's see what Jesus answers and if his order corresponds to ours. And he said, you shall love the Lord your God. It's like, good. That's where we're at. That's number one. I think he's on our team. And then Jesus goes internal here, which is where we've been for the last three sermons here with the High Life. Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, which sometimes the Pharisees are noted as struggling with, that internal piece of love God. They were pretty good with the external, with the drawing of the fences and staying within this camp over here and keeping that camp out there. They were pretty good with the externals. They had laws and regulations, stipulations that kept them in the right box. But there's this peace that Jesus brings. Don't forget the internal. Love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. And before maybe they can jump in and say, hey, that's where we're at, he adds a second. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so it has to bleed to the external. Love of God, if just kept internally, doesn't bleed external in physical, visible worship, whether individually or as a church, or if it doesn't bleed into love of other people and care for other people, ultimately Jesus says, you've missed something. When you talk about the greatest commandment, the second one's like it. I'm not even going to stop to give you guys a chance to respond. I'm just going to keep going here because the second one is like it. I want to be clear that we're on the same page with number one and number two. And in this, verse 39, he adds two qualifiers to help them. And I think they're very challenging for us. And I want to invite us to consider these qualifiers to Jesus' statement, love your neighbor. First, he says, the second commandment is like it. Like what? Like the first commandment. The second commandment is like the first commandment. And he adds that qualifier, and I think it's very important for us to not just skip past and just say, all right, love God, love neighbor, but to think through what it means to have the second one be like the first one. Think through, inside voice, you don't have to shout this out. I'll get pretty confused if you do. Answer the question internally, what does your love of God look like? How would you qualify that? How would you paint that picture? My guess is that many of us who've made the decision to follow Christ would say something like, well, I love him most. I love him best. The love I have for him, it far surpasses anything else. Even my relationship with my spouse or my kids or my coworkers, my relationship with God is everything to me. I put him first. And then we come to the second commandment, which is the second one's kind of like that. It's like, whoa, I'm willing to like love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. And, you know, because, well, he's God, you know, but to think of the second one being like that, to let my love for my neighbor be informed by my love for God, that doesn't seem right, because God's perfect, and he's actually, every time I love him, he's worth it. But my neighbor, have you met my neighbor? Come on now. My coworker? Our love of neighbor, the quality, the how it's filled out, in some way should mimic and imitate the love that we have for God. That's a challenge. That's a challenge for me as I've been contemplating that, as I've been thinking about that. For me, it's like, yeah, God, I love you. You got everything. Now go take that same love and just bring it to your neighbor. It's like, ooh, I don't know. And then the second qualifier talks about loving our neighbor as ourselves. The other part of scripture that I'm reminded of is Ephesians 5, where it says, husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. That's a challenge. Why? Because I feed myself and I clothe myself. And if I get a, you know, cut, I put a band-aid on myself. It's like, I'm taking care of myself all the time. And Jesus is saying, yeah, can you love your neighbor in that same way? Can you just be about caring for your neighbor as you do yourself all the time? How about just between the hours of like 6 and 7, Jesus? Can I boil it down? Just 1 hour a day. I'll just... For as rich as this passage is, I don't think the struggle for us is a lack of clarity. I think Jesus is pretty clear, like, set God first and set neighbor, essentially everybody else that you come in contact with today, set those two as greater than you. It's pretty clear. I think the challenge is just, am I willing to do that? Am I willing to put myself last? And that brings us to verse 40, where he says, on these two commandments, you Pharisees, you law keepers, on these two commandments, love God, love neighbor, hang all the prophets, okay? Hang all the law. Everything that you could make up with your rabbinic interpretations, if they don't find their link back to love God, love neighbor, what are you doing? Why would you do that? What's that all about? Love God, love neighbor is the forest. So every tree that's in that forest has to have on it love God, love neighbor as the chief aim. And if not, then you cut down that tree and you burn it. Because it has to have as its aim love God, love neighbor. That is the forest. And so with the Pharisees, go through all 635 laws, go through all your rabbinic interpretations, go through your Mishnah, go through those things and check and make sure, guarantee for me, that the reason you have that law is to bring forth greater love of God and neighbor. And if not, throw it away. Because all of the law, all the prophets, all the Old Testament, all of the New Testament hangs on this idea, hangs on this principle, the greatest two commandments of love God and love neighbor. What is it for you? I underline the word all there. What's under your all? What do you kind of want like as like a free trump card? Like you have a soapbox issue. You have like that one thing that you just like within the church or within your life, you're just like, I'm going to do this regardless of love God and love neighbor because it's important to me. This tree, I'm going to put in the forest regardless. For the Sadducees, that was the resurrection. Just, we don't believe in a resurrection. That is going to be a tree in this forest. Doesn't matter what you say, Jesus. Doesn't matter what you say. For the Pharisees, it's, we have our tradition. That's going to be a tree in this forest. And Jesus is trying to clarify, let's make sure that love God and love neighbor is a part of that. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Look what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. Jesus manifests his perfect union with the will of God as revealed in the Old Testament law and prophets. He has, in fact, nothing to add to the commandments of God except this, that he keeps them. It was the error of Israel to put the law in God's place, to make the law their God and their God a law. For the Christian, worship, love of God, with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, cannot be divorced from the service of our brothers, of our sisters, of our neighbors, as it was with the rabbis. If we despise our brother, our worship is unreal and it forfeits every divine promise. One of my trees I know at times is, God, I love you. And I say that, I love you, God, with like pure heart, pure mind. I come and I stand there and I lift up hands. I'm like, God. And I know I have something against someone else. And Jesus is very clear. He links it to at different points in Scripture, this love of God, love of neighbor. He's like, you can't do one without doing the other. These two are in tandem. And so if you have something against your brother, you go, you confess it, you seek forgiveness, and then you can come back and worship with truly a pure heart, a pure mind. What do you want a free pass? What do you want a trump card? Because it's your issue, because it's your thing. This summer, it's like, God, I get a trump card, right? Now, this afternoon, I don't have to go love God, love neighbor. Why? Because I just preached, man. I preached the word of God. That's got to get me something, right? And he's like, yeah, just make sure you attach that to love of God, love of neighbor. Is that your aim in preaching? And if not, why don't you run from the building and I'll take it from here, you know? But I think there are times where we set up these fences and these parameters and these boundaries. Like if I'm in this camp, I can kind of do whatever and it's okay. And Jesus is saying, no, love of God, love of neighbor. Everything else has to be attached to that. Everything else depends on that. And if you don't have that, we're in a problem. Look how clear Paul makes this in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, yo. That's the kind of stuff that gets you on a stage with like thousands of people, okay? And understand all mysteries. I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries as a kid, Channel 11, NBC's. I could just like come up and be like, dude, I know that one. We'll make this TV show real short. I understand all knowledge. And if I have all faith, the kind of faith that moves mountains, I have faith that just this whole city impacted for Christ so as to remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Prophetic powers, speaking in tongues, understanding mysteries, having all knowledge, having all faith, if not, finding its link, its attachment to love of God, love of neighbor, Paul says, you're nothing. Those are void, they're empty, they're worthless. If one of your trees is that you hold up before people is speaking in tongues, and it's not connected to, I'm thankful for this gift from the Holy Spirit that I might bless God, love God, and bless and love the people around me, says it's nothing. The challenge to love God and love neighbor, for me, I just feel like as I've read through this and prayed for us, maybe some of you have heard this love God, love neighbor 50 times in your church experience. I hope if you've been in church, you've heard it some amount of times, but for me, the command is crystal clear. The challenge comes in just carrying it out, moment by moment, over and over again, not letting something else become more important, not letting my own laws replace God's Spirit, not letting me and how I set up the fences and kind of put me in this box, like I'm good here if I do this and don't do that, if I say this and don't say that, I'm good. What are our replacements here? What are those things that we want the free pass, we want the trump card, just I don't want to have to do that today, this afternoon. I want this afternoon to be my time. I want to love God and love neighbor, but not that neighbor, not that coworker. And as I've been processing through both when I was putting this together and this week, for me it's just, there's just people that are just easy to love. They're just easy to serve. They don't ask much of me. When they ask stuff of me, it's during work hours. And then there's others that don't. And my flesh struggles to love those people or to forgive those people. And I feel like this is where God's love becomes amazing for me in this struggle. Because all of us are in that unlovable camp. All of us at one time were God's enemies. And he makes peace with us through Jesus Christ, through the cross. And those which were unlovable, enemies, set apart, set against him, he draws near. And so when we say to someone else, no, you don't understand. You don't understand this coworker. He's not deserving of forgiveness. Neither were you. Neither was I. And that's what makes God's love so amazing. He would not consider, Jesus would not consider the sin in the ways that we did. You ever had that where you're just like, somebody comes and asks you for forgiveness, and they're struggling with a sin that you struggle with? Isn't forgiveness just so much easier? Just like, oh yeah, I know that, yeah. Like, for dudes, it's often the lust thing, you know, just like, oh, you struggle with lust? Yeah, am I struggling? No, yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, I'm there with you. When somebody sins in a way that you just can't conceive of, like they just like steal and cheat, and you're like, I'm not a thief, man. I would never do that. And you're just like, I can't believe that they would do that from me. They stole from me. They cheated me. You really struggle with that? God has overcome that with us. Jesus never would conceive of leaving the Father. And yet, as he looks at each one of us, he's saying, I'm still willing to die for your sin. It's incredible. What's the challenge for you? What's the challenge in your love of God, love of neighbor? Where is it that you get hung up? Is it internal? Is it just thoughts? Is it affections? Is it actually bringing, like, you have maybe the good decision, like, I want to do good like Paul, and you just struggle to carry it out? Or maybe you actually are in the place where you're blessing others, but it's hard because you just want to do it for the attention. I wrestled with that in going over to the neighborhood gathering this past week. I listed out my challenge here. I think, as best as I can, like, redo the story, I think this is my priority list that night. As hard as it is to admit that, it's kind of hard. Like, I really wanted to just lie down on the couch and watch TV. I think that was number one. Clean email inbox. Anybody got that obsession? Like, clean email inbox? Like it's 5:30, you like just got home from work. You're like, I'm just going to check. It just be real quick. I'm just going to check. Try and clean that out. I'm a little nervous. Maybe I'm the only one. ESPN.com. We'll just, you know, with all this World Cup coverage, somebody's got to pay attention to it. So why not be me? You know, I don't want ESPN to feel bad, so I got to make sure that people are watching. I want to meet and talk to Sean. I've waved to him like 5 times. He's kind of a big deal. I kind of want to meet him. I want to share about me. You're just like, hi, I'm the one that's known around the neighborhood as the minister. I'm not that weird. Just if I can just shrink that weirdness factor down in your mind, then I'd be happy to do that. I'd be really excited about that. I'm a minister. That comes with certain connotations and bad baggage at times. I'm legit. I'm okay. Get to know my wife. She'll tell you I'm all right. I want to see the garden dedication. I want to see what that looks like. I don't know if it's a human, sociological, anthropological perspective, just kind of like, how's this going to look? How's this going to go? I'm just interested. I'm curious. I got to see this. And then I want to meet our new neighbors. I just love meeting people. Some of you are like, that is death. Why would you want to meet new people? I just like meeting new people, hearing their story. But I can do that and actually not love them. Like, I just like hearing a cool story about a dude that's traveled the world. That does something for me. I just enjoy that. It's sometimes better than coaching the clicker. It's just like, you're better than what they're making up on TV. So I can actually do that without a genuine love of God and love of neighbor. And some of you are thinking, yeah, to meet my new neighbors, I'd need all the strength of God in the world. But for me, it's just no problem. I can just go and do that. And so genuine love of God and love of neighbor, just like, it was a struggle. Like, I'm like looking out the window as the boys are getting ready for bed, like, I don't know. Who knows when Jill's going to get home? I want to be here when she gets here, you know. I think 8 was probably cake. I think they probably had some cake, you know. I'm so thankful I went, but man, the challenge to actually go out there was so hard, and that saddens me. I'm saddened by my lack of love of God and love of neighbor. Well, that's just not second nature. But I think Jesus' words, that's just more blessed to give than receive, just so true. And I ask you guys, what's the richest expression of love you've had from another person? It's great to receive love, but listen to the people that would give love in these ways. One person writes, twice in my life I've had extreme circumstances where I've needed inexpensive places to live. Both times, and by different families, I was taken in. The fact two families that were strangers to me opened their home to allow me to not only live there, but become a part of their family. I've never been more served or loved in my entire life. In return, because of the love I've received, I also learned about loving others. Like, how cool would it be to be the person that gets housed? But what a blessing, what a treasure to actually have somebody write that about you, that you were actually the one who gave and loved God and neighbor. Another one, when my mom stayed with me in the hospital after a really difficult and kind of scary surgery in high school, she certainly wasn't expected to, but she hunkered down in the bed next to me, knowing that having someone I knew in the cold, dark hospital room would mean all the difference in the world. And it did. It's cool to have gone through the surgery and have your mom stay, but to actually be the mom who gets the opportunity to give and to love like that. For you moms out there, like, think about that. Loving your kids in such a way that they would one day say this about you. And then this one, just probably my favorite, just incredible here. My step-grandfather somehow knew I was a lost little boy that really needed a dad and grandpa's love. He took a real interest in me, loved me lots, took me to the sawmill he worked at part-time. Now, that'd just be cool in and of itself. But it keeps going. Look at this. Tried teaching me to carve, and he did one thing my earthly dad refused to do. He called me son. To this day, I thank Jesus for Grandpa's role in my life, and even though he's been gone for almost 31 years now, I still miss him deeply. Love of God and love of neighbor can change lives. These people looked over the landscape of their life and said, what's the greatest expression? Who would I want to hold up that blessed me and loved on me? And this is what came forth. And this neighborhood gathering that I was at, is it the greatest expression I as an individual have received? No. No. Is it the greatest expression our neighborhood, our little community there has received? Maybe. Somebody that would take the time, and that's why this neighborhood couple just blessed me so much, that would take the time to acknowledge other people that were going through stuff, having a baby born, moving into the area, and having this garden dedicated, that they would say, you know what? We're going to take time and honor these people. And I was so blessed to be there. And I think just us as a neighborhood felt so encouraged by their willingness to love on us. So a question for you this morning, just are you experiencing the high life through loving God and loving others? It comes at a cost, comes at a sacrifice, comes many times through pain, long-suffering, forgiveness. And yet Jesus' words, it's more blessed to give than receive, more blessed to give love than receive love. And Jesus, the chief lover, laid down his life for us. Will you pray with me? God, there's people in this room who have, for the first time, are hearing about the love of God demonstrated through Christ. And for each one in here that's in that boat, I feel for them. Because as an 18-year-old freshman at the U of M, I needed to hear that Jesus loved me, died on the cross to save me, and invite me into his family. And so I pray that they would see in Christ a friend, see in Christ a Savior, one who has gone to great lengths to bring them in. Solidify that in their minds and hearts today. And for those who have heard this love God, love neighbor message, that they would really take to heart. God, what are those trees that I'm trying to make bigger than the forest? What are those trees that I care more about than you care about? But God, as I've tried to live this message, it's just difficult. My flesh wants to wage war against the idea of loving God, loving neighbor 24/7. So we need you, Jesus, to come and to help us and to aid us so that we can honor you, love you, worship you, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Will you help us to do that this week? Keep in step with your Spirit that we might be a salt, be light to a watching world who needs you, is in desperate places of struggle and defeat and darkness that could be set free by you. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.